and welcome to Joshua Judges Ruth. Thank you. Thank you. Joshua Judges Ruth is the podcast about the Old Testament books of Joshua, Judges, and Ruth. I'm Ken Lanning. Yes, thank you for joining me for episode 1.10, The Ruins of Ai, which means The Ruins. Today we're looking at Joshua chapter 8 if you'd like to follow along in your Bible. After their devastating defeat and loss of 36 men, we'll see how the Israelites recover and conquer Ai. They'll then hold an assembly in the shadows of Mount Gerizim and Ebal. But first, I'm attempting a new numbering system for the episodes, one I've seen other podcasters do, and I think it makes sense. So this is episode 1.10. The number before the decimal point will designate the book we're in. So since Joshua is the first book we've looked at, it is 1. The number after the decimal will denote the number of episodes up to that point for the book we're covering. However, there may be some mini or partial episodes along the way which will have a designation like 1.3.5. That makes sense, right? Secondly, let me mention you can email me at ken@joshuajudgesruth.com. You can follow me on Twitter at @OT_JJR, and you can find the podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. I'd love for you to leave a review to let me know what you think. Currently, I don't have enough ratings to see a response, and if that sounds like a pathetic plea for ratings, then you have good ears. With all that out of the way, we can get on up to Ai. At the end of chapter 7, all of Israel stoned and burned a fellow named Achan for taking booty from Jericho that was forbidden. His sin led to the defeat at Ai. The Israelites were powerless against even a small settlement like Ai without the Lord's help. If the defeat, the stoning, and the burning weren't enough to make Joshua scared, I don't know what it would be. However, chapter 8 opens with the Lord telling Joshua to not fear and to not be discouraged. This instruction harkens back to what the Lord told Joshua in chapter 1 before the Israelites even crossed the Jordan. The Lord tells Joshua that he has given Ai and its king over to Joshua, and he will do to him what he did to the king in Jericho. This time, though, the Israelites would be able to keep the booty. Then the Lord actually offers a piece of military advice. But coming from the Lord, it's probably more of a command. He tells Joshua to set an ambush behind the city. Upon receiving his instructions, Joshua and, quote, the whole army moved out, end quote. Now Ai was 10 miles west of Jericho and would have been a 3,600-foot gain in elevation. Verse 3 says Joshua told 30,000 of his best men to set an ambush behind the city. By behind, he meant to the west of the city. Let me point out here, because it'll come into play later in the podcast, Ai set southeast of a city called Bethel. The two locales were about 2 miles apart, but there's a mountain in between. Joshua's plan, or rather the Lord's plan, was to set the ambush behind the city and then to lure the men of Ai out of the front gates. To do this, Joshua would attack, but then turn and flee just as the previous Israelite contingent had done in chapter 7. Once the men of Ai were out of the city, the ambush would enter and light Ai on fire. So the men who were to make up the ambush set up west of the city at night. Verse 10 says Joshua mustered his men early the next morning. This would be the morning after he sent the men off to set up the ambush. Then Joshua, the elders, and the men marched up to Ai and set up camp north of the city. Verse 12 tells us that Joshua had taken 5,000 men to set the ambush between Bethel and Ai, but back at verse 3, it appears he chose 30,000 men to set the ambush. One explanation offered to address the difference in the number of men is that the word for thousand is a military unit and not an exact number. So 30,000 men may have been 30 military units. That would be about 166 men per unit if that's correct, which seems like an odd number for a military unit. I mean, I know it's an even number, but you know what I'm saying. By the way, we've talked in previous episodes about the 600,000 men who crossed the Jordan, and again, some people surmise that the 1,000 there is a military unit as well, and not literally 600,000 men. If that's right, and assuming 5,000 men make up 30 military units, then 600 units would be almost 100,000 men of fighting age crossing the Jordan. But that's all just conjecture. Another explanation is that this group of 5,000 is yet a second part of the ambush, separate from the first one composed of 30,000 men. Yet another explanation is that the book of Joshua was pieced together from various sources by various editors, and they simply look past the conflicting numbers. So verse 9, the men set the ambush at night. Verse 10, Joshua musters the army early the next morning, and they march up to Ai to set up camp north of the city, with a valley between them and Ai. Verse 13 says that then Joshua went into the valley that night, for what we don't know. In verse 14, the battle begins, but it begins in the morning, and given the narrative of the previous verses, it would be the second morning after the ambush was set. The ambush was set at night. Joshua and the army march up to Ai early the next morning and set up camp. Verse 14 says, quote, when the king of Ai saw this, he and all the men of the city hurried out early in the morning, end quote. The men of Ai engaged Israel in battle at a certain place overlooking the Arabah, which is the Jordan Rift Valley. Just as Joshua had planned the work, he now worked the plan, and his army was beaten back and began to flee toward the desert. Just as before, the men of Ai gave chase. Verse 17 says, not a man remained in Ai or Bethel who did not go after Israel. Wait, what? Where did the men of Bethel come from? Why do they all of a sudden enter our story? Well, we don't know. We can only assume that Ai was aligned with Bethel in some way. Unlike Jericho, which seemed to be out there on her own, Ai had an ally or operated under the hegemony of Bethel. I believe that's the first time I've ever said that word out loud, hegemony. In the book of Nehemiah, which describes events after the exile, Bethel and Ai are named together in a couple of lists. So did Ai suspect that Israel would return with a larger force and then enlisted the help of Bethel? If so, surely the men of Bethel reported to Ai before the ambush was set, or they would have seen such a large force hiding west of the city, since they would have come from the west. The Bible doesn't say that, we can only guess. Another clue, and we have to jump ahead to find it, is in chapter 12. There the writer lists the kings defeated by Joshua, and the king of Bethel is one of them. However, the Bible doesn't describe the conquest of Bethel, and so it would seem that we do not have all the details of the entire conquest of Canaan. The story of the conquest of Bethel just gets wrapped up with the story of Ai. At any rate, the men of Ai, and Bethel apparently, take out after Joshua and his men. The feigned retreat has been a popular military strategy probably since the beginning of time, and Joshua used it to great effect here. At some point during the retreat, the Lord then tells Joshua to hold out the javelin in his hand toward Ai. This act seems to be some sort of sign, and it may have been a signal to his men. Now the Bible says that as soon as he held out the javelin, the ambush rose up, took the city, and set it on fire. The men in the ambush most likely did not see the signal. They were hiding west of the city, and the Israelites were retreating to the north, so there would have been quite a distance between them. Nevertheless, the ambush is successful, and they're able to enter the city without a fight. They immediately set it on fire. The smoke was a symbol to the main army, and when they saw it, they turned and attacked their pursuers. The men of Ai saw the smoke and knew they'd been had. They tried to turn back, but the men who made up the ambush had come out of the city and were attacking them from the other side. They were caught in the middle and had nowhere to run. Verse 22 says, they were cut down and Israel left no survivors. Actually, there was one man taken alive, and he was the king of Ai. After the Israelites had killed everyone in the fields, they went into Ai and killed everyone else, men and women. We're told they killed 12,000 people that day, the entire population of Ai. The Bible doesn't mention children being killed, like we saw in Jericho, but one can only assume that out of a population of 12,000, a good number of them were kids. Also, was the entire 12,000 all from Ai, or did that make up the population of Bethel as well? The book of Joshua makes it sound like it was just Ai, but we'll talk more about that later. As I mentioned before, the Israelites this time got to keep the livestock and whatever other plunder they could find. And let me point out here that there doesn't seem to be any miraculous intervention in the conquering of Ai. Instead of walls come tumbling down, the Israelites lured the men of Ai outside the city. It seems as though military tactics was enough to win the day, but as the Lord had told Joshua, he'd already given him the city, and so the credit for this victory would go to the Lord. Joshua burned Ai and made it a permanent ruin, quote, a desolate place to this day. And that is still true. It's still a heap of ruins in 2015. I'll talk more about that heap in a few minutes. They took the king of Ai, who is not named, and hung him from a tree. They left him hanging there until sunset. At sunset, Joshua told his men to take him down and dump his body at the city gate. They had to take him down because the Lord commanded the Israelites in Deuteronomy 21 to not leave a body hanging on a tree overnight. They buried the king with a pile of rocks, which again, quote, remains to this day. Ai is the modern site of Et Tel. Et Tel is Arabic for a heap of ruins. It sits east of the modern village of Beitin, and both Beitin and Et Tel are in the West Bank. Beitin, or Beitin, sits on what is believed to be the ancient site of Bethel. Archaeologists tell us that Ai was destroyed in about 2400 BC, and so, no matter what timeline you use for the Exodus, that makes Ai a heap of ruins well before the Israelites arrived. The archaeologists do say that there was an unfortified settlement at Ai from about 1200 to 1050 BC. In some ways, the unfortified settlement fits in well with our story from Joshua because, if you remember, the Israelites at first didn't think they needed the whole army to attack Ai. They initially sent 3,000 men. However, like we talked about, the writer reports they killed 12,000 people. But again, they may be included numbers from Bethel in their figures. The word Ai, like Et Tel, means ruins or a heap of ruins. So it's odd that a city that is still standing be called a heap of ruins. Perhaps the writer, in describing the event, refers to the place as it was known at the time of the writing. Other scholars will say that the story of the conquest of Ai was created to account for the ruins that were there. Also, they included a part about the king being buried by a pile of rocks to account for a rock pile that was there, similar to the pile of rocks in the Valley of Achor where Achan was buried. Considering that the traditional site of Ai doesn't fit the biblical timeline, scholars claim that Ai has been misidentified, which would probably mean that Bethel is misidentified. They point to another site called Kirbet el-Makadr, which is about 1 mile west of the traditional Ai. These archaeologists state that the topography around Kirbet el-Makadr and the occupation and destruction levels fit much better with the biblical account from Joshua, including a destruction in 1406, which would be exactly when Joshua arrived in Canaan, according to the Bible's timeline. Further strengthening their argument is the discovery of an Egyptian amulet in Kirbet el-Makadr that dates to around 1550 to 1450 BC. The archaeology at Kirbet el-Makadr is ongoing. So here we'll jump back to our story in Joshua chapter 8. Beginning at verse 30, the remainder of the chapter describes a ceremony that takes place at Mounts Ebal and Gerizim. Moses commanded that the ceremony take place once Israel had crossed the Jordan. The instructions are given in Deuteronomy 27 and 28. Here is what was to happen. They were to set up some stones on Mount Ebal and coat them with plaster. They were then to write all the words of the law. They were also to build an altar with uncut stones and offer sacrifices. They were to rejoice and eat the sacrifices, kind of like a barbecue. They were also to go through a recitation of curses and blessings. Six of the tribes were to stand on Mount Gerizim to recite the blessings, and six were to stand on Mount Ebal to pronounce the curses. The six blessing tribes were Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin. The six cursing tribes were Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. From the first list of six tribes, you may notice that the tribes listed don't match the list we talked about in episode 1.4. Namely, Levi is listed here, and Ephraim and Manasseh are replaced with Joseph. Actually, the Bible contains about two dozen different lists of the 12 tribes. The lists differ in the order of the names and sometimes in the names used. In this passage today, for whatever reason, the writer decided to include the tribe of Levi and combined Ephraim and Manasseh. So all the same people are here, they're just listed differently. Some of the curses they recite are, "Cursed is anyone who makes an idol. Cursed is the man who moves a neighbor's boundary stone. Cursed is the man who leads the blind astray. Cursed is the man who withholds justice from the alien, the fatherless, and the widow." There are a few others, including curses for people who commit certain sexual sins and murder. The blessings that are promised only come from obeying the law. They essentially promise peace and prosperity for the Israelites if they live by the word of the Lord. Joshua and the people, including the aliens who lived among them, carried out the ceremony. The Bible says that Joshua read all the words of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses had commanded that Joshua did not read to the whole assembly of Israel, including the women and the children, and the aliens who lived among them. In the days before you could get a Bible app on your phone, a public reading was about the only way you could learn about what was in the Bible. And with that, I will leave you for this week. Next time, we're going to learn about those sneaky Gibeonites. Wasn't Joshua supposed to drive out or kill everyone in the land? So why were the Gibeonites allowed to hang around? That doesn't seem fair. Until then, be strong and courageous. Have I not commanded you?